For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word of the Lord. Amen. Why don't we have a seat?
Well, good morning, Heights. Way to go. You guys are hardcore Coloradoans, right? I mean, when that first cold snap comes, I don't know about you, but like, I don't think my blood's thick enough yet. Like, it's just always just a shocker. So just love seeing you here. Like, I wasn't sure if we're going to have anybody this morning. So way to go. So impressed with you. Well, it's always great to have these Campus Independent Weekends that we get to have a little bit of family time here together. And, here we are 3 weeks into January. And, you know, every single year, this time of year, it's whenever we really are focusing on self-improvement, how can we make ourselves better? And, you know, we're confronted with, you know, where we plan to be a year from now and kind of where are we? And, you know, for some of us, we're 3 weeks in and, you know, things are already starting to slide. Sometimes it takes 3 months. I'm sure most of you are like, hey, you set the goal, you got it done, and it's a great deal. But this focus, I think, on how we can make ourselves better can be good. You know, we want to be stronger and healthier. We want to have better relationships. We want to be smarter, perhaps more successful, wealthier, less lonely. Maybe my relationship's a little richer. And, you know, we should all address those things. However, whatever those things might need to get addressed. You know, perhaps you need to get that degree or you need to break that habit or get out of debt. And maybe you need to get out of that relationship. Or maybe you just need to buy that ring, you know, and quit messing around and just get it done, right? So this is the year to do all those things. And perhaps it's less work and more family time or maybe a little more work and a little less Netflix or, you know, I mean, you got to figure that out. Well, we are created for progress. And so I want to throw a question into the mix. And if you're a Jesus follower, this question has a specific answer directed to us as Jesus followers. And we'll get to that in just a minute. If you're not a Jesus follower, or maybe you used to be, or you're on the line, my hunch is that you might be more inclined to be a Christian if you knew that Christians embraced their assigned answer to the question that we're going to ask today. So you might want to pay attention as well. It's easy to complain about the church and that Christians are hypocrites, and you're not wrong about that. But perhaps you know some Christians that you say, hey, you know, they are the real deal. And maybe it's what we're going to talk about today is the thing that you see that they've taken this personally, they've engaged in this, and that's what makes them respectable for you. So here's the question. And you might want to write this down because for some of us, it's going to take a while for us to figure out what the answer is to this question. But it's important. We're all on this journey, we're on this process to figure out what were we created for? What were we created for? I mean, what were you made for? What was I made for? Here's the thing. It's often hard for us personally, individually, to figure that out. It does take time. It is a process. But a lot of times we see it in other people, don't we? And we see them in their zone and they're thriving and they're doing well and you're like, wow, I mean, that's exactly what they're created for. It's so easy to see it in others. Well, both Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they talk about this, and we're going to actually work through the text and these verses that we just read here a few minutes ago to walk through that. But the context of all this is also very important as we drill into the text here this morning. The Apostle Paul, he writes a letter to Christians living in the first century in Ephesus. It's a cosmopolitan town, mostly Gentiles. He's not writing to a religious audience. He's not talking about Judaism or to a secular audience in terms of paganism. He's really speaking specifically here to Christians, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ and really seeking for Jesus to be their savior and leader in their lives. And But there's still a lot of confusion and conflict going on here in the Ephesus church. And so he wants to bring clarity about what does it mean to be a Christian? What does this look like as a follower of Jesus? I mean, this is a time in culture where it's pretty anti-Christian in this time. And so he really wants to bring clarity. So before we jump into the text, let's just pause and give this time to the Lord. Lord, I ask that you guide us into your truth here this morning. I pray that your spirit would just open us up to you. Lord, we need you. We just need you to open us up, that you would just lead us in our lives. We just need your grace. And so we pray that we would be able to honor you with our lives, and we want to glorify you, and you've done so much for us. You deserve that, and we have grateful hearts. But Lord, we just need you to move in our hearts and our minds. And so we commit ourselves to you now and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so look at Ephesians chapter 2. So here's what he says to them, which is also what he's saying to us here today. And I'm just going to jump down actually to verse 10 to start with, the last verse. And then we're going to come back to the first two verses of verses 8 and 9. He starts out by saying, we, those who are Christ followers, talking about us, we are God's workmanship. I'm just going to stop right there. The Greek word here is poiema. It's a little Greek term for workmanship. Now, it's a very specific focus here in terms of what he's talking about workmanship. He's not really talking at all about our physical bodies, about being made in the image of God, anything about that. This really is much more specific than that. In fact, there's another translation in the NIV that says handiwork. So workmanship refers to that we are created for something very, very specific. We are crafted for a very specific purpose and reason. And then he goes on, he says, for we are God's workmanship that God crafted and created in us in Christ Jesus. So we'll pause right there. Now, the version of Christianity in the church that I grew up in, I mean, I'm hugely grateful for my heritage and my church, and I was raised in the church, and, you know, I've always loved church. I mean, I never rebelled, never left church. I mean, it's always been an awesome thing for me. But the version of Christianity that I was raised in, if I didn't know what the rest of this verse said, I just had to guess what it was going to say in terms of just what was being taught to me during that era. I think I would have thought, you know, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to go to heaven when we die. I mean, I think that's what I would have thought Paul was going to say here, because that was kind of the synopsis of Christianity that I was raised in. You know, you're a sinner, you're saved by grace. We have Jesus as our Savior, that we can have a relationship with God. And so that whenever you die, you go to heaven, and that's the whole ball of wax. And in the meantime, you know, you do the best you can. You try to stay out of as much trouble as possible, but, you know, there's forgiveness. If you do mess up, then all that is true, right? But what he actually wrote, the way he actually finishes this sentence, and the reason verse 10 here has really somewhat been neglected by the church, or at least the kind of church that I was raised in, and maybe the kind of church that you were raised in, is because the first two verses, verses 8 and 9, that came here before verse 10, they just got massive airplay. I mean, just massive airtime. I mean, they were like the central event. And so, you know, when we just read them to you earlier, I mean, I know, like most of you, those verses were memorized. Like, you're just quoting those verses as we went through that together. And they are extraordinarily important in terms of the central message of the gospel. But in the church that I grew up in, they really overshadowed what Paul said next. And so we're going to tease that out here in the next few minutes together. So let's go back to verse 8. We're going to take a quick look at these first two verses, verses 8 and 9, so you get some context here, and then we'll jump back into verse 10. So verse 8, Paul writes, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's a gift of God. And we're like, yay God, right? I mean, this means we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a free gift. And he also says the best part here, this is not your own doing. I mean, in other words, you didn't manufacture this. You didn't come up with this. There's no way you worked your way into it. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. Another translation says it's not from yourselves. It's a gift. So we get this right relationship with God. It's a gift. It's amazing. And then he continues on, not a result of works. So Paul wants to make sure we get this very clear. I mean, it's nothing we can do. It's not our works that we can have this relationship with the Heavenly Father and Nobody can boast about that. I mean, it's not like we can get to heaven and we say, hey, did you see my life, how good it was? I mean, I was pretty amazing. I mean, compared to you, I know why I'm here, I'm not sure why you're here, but I'm pretty awesome, you know? I mean, nobody can say that. I mean, he levels the playing field here. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you are, everybody gets in the same way. It's an invitation by God's grace. And so as Christians, we celebrate that. The songs we sing, the sermons we preach, we teach our kids this, you know, that you can't behave your way into heaven. And the better news is you can't sin your way out of it either, right? So of course, these two first verses, verses 8 and 9, they get massive airplay, and they should. But then the tradition that I was raised in, and one, I think, of the most important parts of Paul's statement in terms of how it came to me as I grew up in the church is this. All of a sudden, there's this like punctuation, this period after verse 9. And it's like, boom, period, stop. So it was kind of like, okay, got this gift of heaven, you know, the end, I'm in, you know, have a nice day. I mean, that was it. And honestly, we kind of stopped reading right there at the end of verse 9. But Paul, he doesn't stop writing after verse 9. Because if you just stop there, it fuels this hyper-vertical version of Christianity where it's just me and God. You know, we're good. Me and God, you know, that's really all that matters. It doesn't matter about really anybody else. I don't really need to do anything. I'm just going to try to be a good person, behave. But this wasn't the end of the sentence. See, in fact, in the Greek language, there is no punctuation. Do you know that? Not only does it not have a period, but the original text actually, in this transition, provides a conjunction. Do you remember what a conjunction is? Yeah, it's that connecting word. So there's an actual connection from verse 9 to verse 10. No punctuation. So he says in verse 8 and 9, summary, good news is you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourself. Don't work your way into a good relationship with God. It's a gift. But then verse 10, here we see the word for. There's that connecting word. So he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. So Paul says, okay, so we're clearing the gospel now by a relationship with God, but let me tell you what the purpose of that relationship with God is for. Yeah, it's a free gift, but it's not just to secure your eternity. It's not just to go to heaven when you die. No, there's something to do. In fact, the NIV translation actually uses those exact words, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You and I were saved by the grace of God in order to do something. And here's what I want you to hear. The to-do part is something related to God's grace and mercy given to us as salvation. They all work together. They're all connected. And this is why he talks about it being in Christ, because that language, being in Christ Jesus, is covenant language. We're now in the new covenant. And God, you know, has given us Christ through his blood that was shed for us. And so therefore, when we put our faith and trust in that, we're part of his family, which means we're part of his mission, which means we're part of doing something for the kingdom of God here on planet Earth during this lifetime. And so we're going to, and we need to, discover something very specific as it relates to our salvation by grace in terms of what we do. And so he teases this out. Paul teases this out. He says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, not to be a good person, not to be a law-abiding citizen. I mean, he's already covered that earlier in the book. I mean, that's assumed. It's more specific than that. In fact, it's the same terminology that we see Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, we've been talking about that these last weeks, right? The Sermon on the Plain, and as even Josh talked about the comparison with the Sermon on the Mount. And here's Jesus' famous words. He said, let your light, or your life, let your light shine in such a way that people see your what? Your good works, or your good deeds. And glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus says here, for those of you who claim to follow me, he says, I want you to live your life in such a way that you're doing good works, that people connect what you're doing with your faith in Jesus. He's saying, I want you to find something to do in your life that connects your life to your Heavenly Father. Another way of saying this is that people would connect the dots between the life you live, how you spend your time and how you spend your money, how you prioritize. This is others first. It isn't about being a good moral person, paying my taxes, staying out of trouble. This is the idea of serving one another, submitting to one another, carrying one another's burdens. It's that kind of stuff. It's going the extra mile. And when we get this right as a church, it sets us apart. Not that we're better. It just sets us apart because that's what Jesus was about. Jesus said, I came to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. And when we find a way just for us individually and then come together collectively to give our lives away in the name of Jesus, that's what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. And every one of us who's truly a follower of Jesus, we've been called to this, is part of the gospel. And the truth is, and I've been guilty of this, and I'm not pointing fingers, but some Christians are so focused on salvation by faith alone, they leave the good works alone. And the result is a Santa Claus version of Christianity. You know what the Santa Claus version of Christianity is? You better be good for goodness sake. God's watching. He's evaluating. So you better be good for goodness sake. Now let me just say, being good without doing good ain't no good. It's good for nothing. Now that might be an extreme way to say it. I'm just making a point, but here's what I mean by that. If you're only good for yourself, that's not the kind of good that our Lord Jesus came and called us to. That's so unlike our Savior. And we're trying to be like him. And Jesus said, I want you to go into every nation and teach what I've taught you. I want you to go into every place, not just to be good citizens, no, but I want you to live your life in such a way that your light shines, that your life is different, that you're created to do something very specific for the sake of the kingdom. It connects your life and your time that you give to God's work and what he's doing in this world during our lifetime on this earth. Now, real quick, if you're not a religious person, you're not a Christian person, you've met some of this, and I've been guilty of this, Christians who seem to be way more focused on judging others than actually doing for others. And I'm sorry for that. And I just want to go on record to say that does not reflect Jesus. That doesn't reflect our King. That's not what we were saved for. It's not what we were created for. That's not what we are called to. We want to live our lives in such a way that people would just sit up and take notice. And they would say, you know, I'm not sure if I believe all that, but wow, thank you. I mean, we're just so much better off because you're in our community. We're so much better off because you're in our family. We're so much better off because I get to work with someone like you. We're so much better off because I get to know someone like you. I don't understand that level of generosity. I don't understand that kind of compassion. I mean, I don't get it that you forgave her so quickly. I mean, what's that? And if you aren't a Christian and that hasn't been your experience, I'm sorry. Because then we're not doing it right. You know, when we open the pages of Scripture, and as we see Jesus in the Gospels, you see how Jesus lived this out. He says this to our generation. He says, you know, if you want to follow me, follow my example. I mean, if you want to know what the Father is like, he would say, watch me. But you know what? Jesus is saying the same thing to us. He's saying, I want people to understand who God is and what he's like by watching you. You know, chances are if you're a Christian today, it's because the people in your life that got it right, they figured this out. And we've got to do that. Well, Paul goes on, verse 10. He says, regarding these good works that you know we were created to do, he says, for we are God's workmanship, we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God, now this is amazing, which God prepared beforehand. I mean, the NIV translation, it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, this is what I want you to think about for a minute. What if this is true? I mean, just imagine for a moment that God has prepared beforehand in light of your personality, in light of your temperament, your season of life, your stage of life, where you live, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life. What if God prepared ahead of time, beforehand, something specific for you to do that lines up with the way that you were created? That God sets up his workmanship in such a way that unique to you, something actually gets done because you actually are doing something that allows you to be uniquely positioned to point people to your Heavenly Father. That's the kind of sentiment that we see here behind this text. In other words, each of us has, if we're truly followers of Jesus, we have a good works assignment. And this is what we were created for. This is what he made us for, to advance the kingdom of God on earth. Now, let me just get a little more specific. Since we're all sitting in a room here together, the reason that Woodman Heights here exists today is because before you and I came along, there was a group of people who came together, and they were about the kingdom of God. And they were like, we are going to see if we can make this campus, the Heights campus, possible. And sure enough, they did kingdom of God giving and kingdom of God volunteering and serving and, you know, whatever it took. I mean, I'm sure it was just whatever the needs were. They had that servant spirit, and they just jumped in and pulled up their sleeves and like, let's get this done. And then along the way, they found their place in the body of Christ. And they discovered the more that they are created for. And I know there's some of you here sitting today that were part of that group. And we thank you. You know, whenever I have a chance to thank our serving teams, our Connect teams, or hospitality team, or our kids ministry, or student leaders, it's amazing often whenever I thank them, they say to me, no, thank you. Thank you for providing a place and an opportunity where I can serve. And it's like they're saying, you know, I was created to serve the kingdom of God, but I'm in my zone. And yeah, I might walk away tired, but I don't walk away empty. In fact, I walk away filled up because I found the more that I was created for. And that's all I want for all of you. It just doesn't have to be just here at Heights either. I mean, we help our congregants to serve all over the city. We want to love on our community here. And whatever we can do to come alongside you, we want to do that. Because what if Paul is right? I mean, what if you truly are God's workmanship, his handiwork? That part of your purpose in life, and if you haven't found it yet, it's because it means that there's just something in this world that can really make your life more purposeful. Or to use another word, when you find that thing to make your life more meaningful. I mean, what makes your life more meaningful? It's when our life is a means to an end. It doesn't end with us. It doesn't exclusively benefit us. Otherwise, we're like the Dead Sea, where, you know, everything's pouring in, but nothing's going out, right? And when we find our way to be a part of the kingdom, part of God's mission, to be a part of something that's actually bigger than ourselves, that's where we find purpose and meaning. And Paul says that all of us, we have that purpose somewhere. And if we don't know what it is, we just have to seek it out. It can be a journey. It can take time. It can be a process. But you were made for more. And you're not made for just to be a law-abiding citizen, to be polite, a Christian citizen. That's not enough. That's just a waste. That's just average. That's what most of our culture does. And unfortunately, if that's where you are, you're missing out. Our world is missing out. Our church is missing out. So as we begin this year together, I just want to throw out this question to you. I want you to think about this, and my hope is for this year that you come up with the answer, that you find your place, you find your good works assignment that God has for you. Because we're all recipients of those people who have done that for us, right? So why would we not want to do that for others? Not to mention for what Jesus has done for us. And it's not just for this generation, it's really even for the next generation. Because we know that the church is always one generation away from extinction. And we gotta reach out and really love on this next generation. But my hope is that you're gonna start looking. There's lots of options here. And that you'll start trying some things out and you'll try to figure out what is the it for you. And sometimes you think the one thing is the it, and then it's not. But it leads you to the next thing that is it. And it just can be a journey and a process, and you just can't get frustrated. You gotta be patient with the process. Sometimes it takes time to do that. And actually, one of the neat things is Pastor Josh last week, he mentioned about this spiritual enrichment tool that's coming out very soon. And that tool is just gonna be an amazing help in terms of finding whatever that next step is for you. And so we really hope that you'll participate in that. You know, when I was in high school, I had some student leaders who really invested in me. And it was great. I mean, they just, you know, we would meet at McDonald's after church and just process life and relationship with the Lord. And then they really helped me build confidence in sharing my faith. And we'd go out and share our faith with people. And by the time I was a senior in high school, we had lost our youth pastor that year. And so the church approached me and said, "Hey, Andrew, like, would you just be willing to administrate the program for the weekly program for students?" We had like over 100 students showing up every week. You know, so just find speakers, get the food, figure out the games. And, you know, like this, it was way over my head. I was just like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Well, let me tell you, God really used that in my life and preparing me in my heart for ministry. And I think that's part of the reason I'm your campus pastor here today. But my point is, you just don't know until you step out. It might not feel like the right thing. It might feel like it's over your head. But sometimes you just gotta step out. And sometimes we all think we know that, yeah, that's not a good idea, but we don't always know. And so I just wanna encourage you to take that step, because I don't want you to miss out. I don't want our community to miss out. I don't want our church to miss out, but I don't want you to miss out. I don't want the kingdom of God to miss out, that there's empty seats where someone was supposed to show up and there's empty seats. And I understand you're busy people, and I understand that there's a lot going on. But are you living out that purpose and God's purpose and that good works assignment that God has for you? According to Paul, as followers of Jesus, we all have that assignment from God. And you can do this anywhere. Anywhere where you're serving the kingdom, and we can help you with that. But let me just say, as your local church, we would love to be able to help you with that. And we think that the church can be a great place to start here, because, I mean, obviously, you know, the church is the epicenter. I mean, it's really God's really activity on planet Earth is through the local church. I mean, Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church, and it's going to go on forever." And it has, and it continues to thrive. And so we can help you here. And Jesus said, you know, I'm the body, and you are going to be the hands and feet. And so we would love to be able to come alongside you and help you with that. So whatever you do, please don't settle for just simply being good. You're already good. I mean, just look at you guys. Like, you're just sitting here in rows, like you're nodding, you're happy, you're smiling. I mean, you might be daydreaming, but you're not letting me know that, you know? And you're good people, but that's not good enough, because God has something so much more for every single one of you. And really, I really believe this is an invitation of a lifetime for you to find what God has created you for. So I want you to meet somebody who has found that thing. Cindy Stroop, she's here, she comes. She was just back in the kids' ministry here, serving. And Cindy has actually been doing kids' ministry for over 40 years. If you can believe that. Yeah. Have a seat here, Cindy. Yeah. You can have a seat here, Cindy. You see a few pictures here, just to get a sense of Cindy's personality. There she is, Noah, there. Here we are as the clown. Nice.
Actually, we were studying Noah and the flood. And I was a rainbow. Come on.
There you go. Nice. Nice. So Cindy really struggled with doing this interview because, you know, she's behind the scenes back here serving her kids like every week and doing this for, I mean, 40 years. Like, Cindy, that's amazing. So, like, these kids, it's not like when you're teaching our children that they're like, oh, Cindy, like, thank you for that truth that changed my life. Like, you're not getting those kind of kudos. So, like, to keep doing this over and over, like, what keeps you in the game?
Why? Why would she do that? Well, I happen to like kids, you know. I think they know how to have fun. And it's such a privilege to serve in this church with all the support that I get from the staff. And I do it, you know, out of gratitude to our Heavenly Father. Mm. He has blessed us with so much just being American citizens.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And so I want to give back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And
well, you've also talked to me just about the potential you see in these kids and just the opportunity that's there as well.
You know, kids are sponges. They soak up everything. Mm. So I enjoy being part of giving them that holy water to nourish them, to nourish their souls, to be part of that process.
Yeah. And I know that over the years, too, you've enjoyed the relationships that have built.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know, it's kind of amazing when you've done it a while. You know, the little ones you teach in second grade grow up, and they come back.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it's such a privilege to be part of their family and to partner with their parents who, you know, I'm a parent. I know what it was like to raise little kids and how challenging it can be. But to lay that foundation in Christ, you know, because this is when most of us made a decision to have God in our life.
That's right.
When they're kids.
Yep. Yeah. The opportunity's there. So what has this done for your heart? You know, just by you serving, like,
well, you know, it's so much fun to have a relationship with the kids. It's so much fun to have a relationship with the other people that volunteer. Mm. You know, the friends that you make, the adults. You know, do you know that verse about the gifts of the Spirit?
Mm-hmm. The fruit.
Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I go in and sometimes I go in and I don't want to be there. It's, you know, it's like any other job. And but there's just something about finding that spot that God has intended for you, trying different things, maybe saying yes to an invite that, you know, you're kind of wondering how is this going to work, but you say yes and you try it. It just fills you with more love, more peace, more patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control.
Wow. So what I hear you saying is by serving these children and you're teaching them to grow in their relationship with the Lord and their character, that in doing that, you're growing.
Oh, my gosh. It keeps me in line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because kids have a way of being honest. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they help with that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Cindy. Thank you for sharing with us and appreciate all you're doing here. It's great. Well, since this weekend is our campus independent weekend and, you know, just a little family time, we really do just want to spotlight and highlight this next generation. Whether it be our kids ministry or our student ministry, you know, how we do it is not easy, let me tell you. I mean, for a lot of churches, it's just easy to have the large group program and to do the teaching and worship and then move on. Whereas a big focus for us is to have small groups, to have a shepherd, a leader, who's with a smaller group of kids or students, and to be able to love on them, to really share the love of Jesus, to get to know them, to get to know the families and the parents. And we've been doing this for a long time now in our student ministry, and just more recently are bringing that strategy into our kids ministry and really needing to grow that. And we really need more leaders. And so if one of, just you think this could be something I could do, you know, to just try it, I'm inviting you to give it a shot. To just try it. And we'll just walk with you through that. We'll give you everything we need. That's the beauty in terms of what Cindy reflected, is that we totally equip you. We give you everything you need there in that environment. It's really about showing up, and it's about loving on these kids. And so we just want to encourage you to do that, because it is about reaching this next generation. And we need to do that as a church and be very intentional about that and do that well. I mean, I just think about the families who show up here each week, and I hear the stories all the time in terms of the mom who, you know, she'd been away from church for a long time. She's shown up with her kids. They're in tow. And she's like, I need my kids to make a connection here. And she's just hoping we're going to get it right. Or I hear the stories for a lot of us who has family members who've walked away from their faith. And then they come back and they say, all right, I'm going to give one more try. And they're bringing your grandkids in tow. And you're just hoping and praying, all right, I hope this is an amazing experience. I hope it's epic. And we just know from our experience and from what we're seeing, the fruit of these leaders with these kids, that's where the life change happens. That's where the transformation happens, is in that environment where the Spirit of God can show up in God's word in the context of an authentic relationship of love, that those lives are changed. And whenever that connection is made and that grows, it's just amazing to see the fruit of that. But it's not an easy vision to live out. So just want to encourage you, that is just one way that you can take a step. And there's going to be a table out back there. Matt Florek will be there. Our student director will be there. And he has handouts for both kids and students there. But it doesn't mean that's the only thing. There's many options. So if you get on the QR code here, on our service guide, under announcements, there's a serve the church form. Give us a little bit of information. We'll follow up with you, and we'll be glad to come alongside and to help you take whatever step we can. You know, the Lord just has so much more for all of us. We were created for so much more. And as followers of Jesus, he has given us that good works assignment. Do you know what it is? Do you know what that is? If not, let us help you. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you just needing you to help us. Lord, we need your Spirit to give us what we need to take that step, to take a risk, to give it a try. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to really find the answer for what it is that we're created for, that we as a body, that we would be that light that would just impact this community in amazing ways as we are, but I know we can do better. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just be with each one of us as your Spirit works in our hearts and lives. Lord, lead us and guide us. I pray you just give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear. You give us the courage to step out, to do whatever it is that you might be wanting us to trust you for, that you would lead us as we go. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.